And, you know, once we fell asleep and the television was on, we were on the Food Network, and they were talking about fried chicken that night. Nadine dreamt about fried chicken all night long, right? So sometimes our dreams just come from what's going on inside our heads. Sometimes we're concerned about something, or there's something that's troubling us, you know. I can remember a 14-year-old girl coming to an outreach we did once, and she's telling me about this dreamy boy in her class, and he's so cute, and she had a dream that he was going to ask her out. And I was like, well, I don't know if the dream means he's going to ask him you out as much as the dream says you really want him, you know, to ask you out. And so physical, emotional, but spiritual. There can be a spiritual part to the dreams. Now, where we differ with Freud and Jung is on this third leg of it. They think there can be body dreams, chemical dreams, you know, that they think there can be dreams that come from the more emotional side of who we are. But the spiritual side is where we would differ. We think that there can be a source outside of ourselves that can influence our dreams. And that source can be light or dark. Sometimes we have dreams from God. He speaks to us in our dreams. We had a whole list of biblical examples. And some historical examples where God speaks to people in their dreams. And here's a clue. Usually if it's God, the colors are bright and vibrant. If it's a soul, or if it's just a chemical dream, there might be color, but there's a good chance they're muted. This isn't 100% all the time, but I've found it to be pretty consistent. When you're having spiritual dreams that come from God, it's going to have bright, vibrant color. And you're going to remember the colors. Now, there are other dreams you can have from God, and maybe color isn't a significant element in the dream. But often, if it's him, the colors are bright. If the dreams are spiritual, but they come from more of the dark side, sometimes we call those nightmares, the colors, maybe it'll be just grayscale. Or black and white, grayscale, varying levels of just grayish color. Maybe if there's color at all, it's just very, very little. I had an example. I mentioned my friend Jim Driscoll before. One of his sons, Jim and his wife are just amazing dreamers, and not surprisingly, so are their children. And so they have a culture in their family where they honor this. So he had one of his sons was having dreams about a witch that would come and torment them in the night. And so his father would pray with him and tell him, he said, you know, you have the authority where you can change things in your dreams. We refer to that as lucid dreaming. That you can change things in your dreams. Dad, you don't understand. Son, I understand. I'm praying for you. You know, I pray that this stops. The next day come up. Boy, the witch was back again. And his son was all disturbed. Well, this went on for about a week or so. And then after a week, his son comes down for breakfast. And he's happy as could be. I mean, they've had a crying little boy on their hands all week long, right? He comes down. He's happy. And son looks at him and says, hey. The father looks at him and says, son, what happened? He said, oh, that witch ain't coming back no more. He's like, really? How come? He said, well, I picked up a sword last night and I cut her head off. And Dad was like, wow, that's amazing. And he says, well, he says, you know, if she comes back, he said, Dad, I told you, I cut her head off. She's not coming back anymore. And that dream, and that witch never came back in his dreams. Let's see, jumping around my notes here. So all different sources for dreams. Sometimes spiritual dreams can be destiny. Joseph had a spiritual dream. It was about his destiny. Sometimes dreams are nightmares. They can be just driven by fears that we have. or it could be something else in the environment. That's what I was trying to remember. Had a really good friend of mine. She's very sensitive spiritually. And there's something about her, if you knew her, she's just pure as a driven snow, right? And so she comes in, we were working together. She comes into the office and says, I don't understand what's going on. The last few nights, every night I have these perverse dreams with these terrible things that are going on. And she's like, I promise you, I'm not doing anything bad. And so we're praying about it and trying to figure out what was going on. It took us a little while to decipher it, but her spirit is big. Her spirit is almost like there's this force field around her where she can pick up things, okay? Some of us have a spiritual radar. Most of you ladies understand about having some type of radar, right? Have you ever been somewhere and some guy comes by and it feels like you've been slimed and you're kind of like, get it off, get it off, get it off, get it off. You have that radar. You don't have to have done anything. You don't have to say anything. You just know. Bad news, right? You just kind of back away. Some people have that kind of spiritual radar around them. Well, because of her heart, she had this huge radar. And what we figured out is that the woman upstairs from her was really going through a hard place of life. They live in this apartment building. And she was picking up on her dreams in the middle of the night. That was the significance of the size of the gifting that she walked in. She was picking up on her stuff. It was a spiritual dream, but it wasn't her stuff. It was somebody else's stuff. Sometimes that can happen in hotel rooms or if you're visiting someone's house or they're visiting, you know, over at your house, you may pick up in the night what they're going through spiritually. Yeah. Sometimes it works like this. Sometimes these dreams are just cleansing dreams. So I use the example of the radar, right? So sometimes you could just be walking through Walmart or the mall and you pass by somebody and, you know, I'm not sure how it all works, but somehow spiritually you feel like you got slime. And God just uses the night season to just kind of flush the dreams, just to get it off you. You know, that whole get it off, get it off, get it off. He's getting it off, just flushing it away. So it doesn't mean that this is something, you know, some hidden sin that you're dealing with. God's just removing it, you know, from your tanks. There's an event, an outreach that we would do, a national event in the United States. It's probably one of the largest art pagan festivals in the United States called Burning Man. Anybody ever hear of Burning Man? Probably not. Not real popular in church circles. But 50,000 people go out into the desert for a week in the Nevada desert. And they'll do all kind of wild and crazy things. So we would take a team of 50 people and go out there and figure we're going to be light and darkness. We're out in the desert for a week. First year I went, we brought 20,000 bottles of water, gave out water in the desert. How's that for being metaphoric? And we put up a big tent, and they'd come in, and we offer them dream interpretation and life readings. And they'd let us minister to them for as long as we wanted to. Some amazing encounters. It was powerful. But sometimes after Burning Man was over and we got home, most of the team members, we would have these flushing dreams for about a week or so, just kind of getting it off of us because of the environment we've been in. So there are other types of dreams that can fit into more than one category. Some dreams are healing dreams or calling dreams. Some dreams give us courage or direction. Sometimes dreams can be a warning. God's not that anything's happened, but it's a warning that something could happen. Or correction. So let me just take a few minutes to give you some practical tips for dream interpretation. And then we'll open it up for any questions you might have. I'll go any way you want to go with it. So the first number one point for dream interpretation, listen. You got to listen. You'll never be able to interpret a dream you haven't heard. You know, unless you're like, you know, the prophet Daniel, none of us are there yet, right? We're still at the learning phases of this. So I'm not going to put Daniel pressure on you. I'm not going to ask you to interpret a dream you haven't heard. This is the number one mistake people make in dream interpretation. They listen to the first two sentences of the dream and they begin interpreting or trying to interpret the dream in their head and they miss the next few sentences. Listen to the whole dream. Not only listen to the whole dream, in your mind's eye, walk through the dream with the dreamer. Visualize it. See it. Listen to the whole dream. Number two, repeat the dream back to the dreamer. Tell them what they just told you. It allows them an opportunity to clarify anything that maybe you've misunderstood or add additional information. And as a side note, it gives you a few extra seconds to ponder, oh my God, what does this dream mean? Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. That's a favorite dream of dream interpreters. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Number three, ask questions. It's not cheating to ask questions. As a matter of fact, for dream interpretation, it's really good to ask the dreamer questions. When did you have this dream? Was there anything significant going on in your life when you had it? How did it feel in the dream when you woke up? How did it feel in the dream? How did it feel when you woke up? Here's a good one. Was the dream in color? Was it daytime in the dream? Was it nighttime in the dream? Those can all be clues to help you interpret it. Ask questions. So first step is to listen. Second step is to repeat the dream back. The third is to ask questions. Fourth step is this, ask God. Listen to the Holy Spirit as you're listening to the dreamer. It's kind of like two-way conversation going on, right? You listen to him as you're listening to them. You're spiritually multitasking. It's like when you pray for someone, right? You're praying for them and you're listening to God at the same time. That's kind of like what Holy Spirit inspired dream interpretation is like. And then offer your interpretation. Offer it with kindness. Offer it with humility. Humility is your friend. Anybody here play golf? Isn't golf one of the most humbling games in the whole world? Man, you hit one really good shot, and the next shot, oh boy, oh boy. That's kind of like dream interpretations, like, especially in the beginning. You might get one really good and struggle with the next two or three. Just don't give up. And if you offer them with humility, even if you're wrong, if you offer them with kindness, even if you're wrong, no harm done. And especially if you practice with one another, you know, lots of grace for making mistakes. How else are we going to learn, right? We have to become good at doing things badly. When you consider the interpretation, consider this. Where's the weight in the dream? What part of the dream feels more significant than another? Bill had sent me a dream about a week ago. And there was like different elements to it. I told him, I really feel the weight on this part of the dream. There were some other things that went on, and they may be important, but the weightiness part of the dream, that is in this part over here. Where's the weight in the dream? What's the another way of saying it, what's the most significant event in the dream? And as you offer your interpretation, consider this. This is helpful. How would you, if this was a newspaper story, what would the headline be? What's the headline? If the dream were a news story, what would the headline of the story be? So listen, repeat the dream, ask questions, ask God, offer your interpretation. And then look for the spirit of truth. An accurately interpreted dream resonates as true within the dreamer. An accurately interpreted dream resonates as true within the dreamer, and it offers them some relief. It's that aha moment. And the fifth thing is this. Is that five or six? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Spirit of truth, 7. practice. Practice. I promise you this. If you interpret 25 dreams, you'll experience some level of breakthrough. It's like, oh, something clicked. I can remember a friend of mine was trying to teach me algebra when we were in high school. I, for the life of me, could not understand how X equaled a number, how Y equaled a number. I couldn't get it. We were on our stomachs on the floor in his basement, and he's explaining it to me for the 20th time. And it's like somebody flipped a switch. Oh, I didn't get it, and now I got it. X means 25. How could that be? But suddenly it made sense to me. Kind of, that's what it's going to be like with dream interpretation. Do about 25 dreams, and it's going to be like a switch goes on, and there'll be a greater level of understanding for most of you. And then at about 250 dreams, there'll be a whole nother level of breakthrough. The more you practice, the better you'll get. I'm not saying this is a spiritual principle. I think this is just a natural principle. And then the same thing will happen at 2,500 dreams. There'll just be a whole nother level of breakthrough and greater level of understanding. Dreams will keep you humble. Trust me, if you're a perfectionist, dreams will keep you humble. You can't hit a home run on every dream. You will strike out once in a while. It's okay. It's really not about you or how gifted you are as a dream interpreter. It's about the person that's offering the dream. It's about loving the dreamer. That's what this is about. It's about loving them. You know what I found? Everybody responds well to humility. Parents respond well to humility. Employers respond well to humility. Pastors, church members, each way. People respond well to humility. People who you're offering a dream interpretation to, if you offer it to them in humility, they're going to have a lot of grace for you. Even if you get it wrong. And continue to educate yourself in dreams. If this interests you, then seek further information. There's a website called stirthewater.com, no spaces. That's my friend Jim Driscoll I've mentioned before. He has classes online, train people in dream interpretation. He also has a couple of really good books, two sources I would highly recommend. It's Stir the Water, stirthewater.com. So he offers online training if that interests you. And he has two great books. One is called Dreams, A Biblical Model of Interpretation. And the other is called The Modern Seer. So he has a book on dreams, a book on visions called The Modern Seer. Jim Driscoll, D-R-I-S-C-O-L-L. And I can tell you the model I've just offered to you, it really works. We've interpreted, I've interpreted thousands of dreams. I don't know, 10,000 dreams? I've interpreted a whole lot of dreams. And the people that I know that I've studied with, we've done tens of thousands of dreams. We've found that this system works, that this model works, and that the interpretive approach has been really effective and pretty accurate. And so there's still tons more information to it, but you know, here's a bit to whet your appetite. So we're about 20 after 8. I would love to take some questions on this. Bill, do you have something to say?
To tape the questions as well. And I'm the pastor and I get the mic, so I go first.
Awesome.
with a comment. I'm sitting here and thinking and hearing you talk about this, and I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. So as we're listening to this, this is stirring our faith for dreams, dream and dream interpretation and so forth, and to be led by, to some degree at least, there, or given instruction by dreams. And I was thinking, you know, as Tom mentioned, sometimes people are a little afraid to go in there, and it excites me, and I know it's going to stir a lot of you, and I say, don't worry, if I know that if I get bombarded with a whole bunch of people saying, this dream, that dream, that, and they suddenly gets activated. I'm just thinking, I know a guy. But as Tom was mentioning, some of the ways that we can be instructed and guided, whether by dreams, then we really have a sense of the importance of this, and have an understanding, and a wonderful method to reach people.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting to me. Just real quick, you mentioned that some people have they can tune in,
yeah,
like a satellite. Now, do you think that this is, that everybody can be taught this to some degree?
Yeah, I use the example of the 5-year-old who's just really gifted to, you know, play ball. But all the other kids his age, they can learn skills on how to play baseball and play very well. So I think there are people like Joseph and Daniel in the scriptures who were, they've probably had this gift their whole life. It's just been part of who God made them to be. But this I know, God wants to communicate to all of us. And I think that we can all get better at learning the ways that he speaks to us. And so whether or not you have were born with this gift, or if this is something that you just have a desire for. So I told a story how I could see things as a kid, and then it kind of got shut off for me. It got shut off for me when I was 8 years old. And then when I was 16, it was like the door was opening up again, and boom, it got slammed. And at 16, the door stayed closed for 25 years. And literally, the gift was put on the shelf. And then God sent some prophetic ministers to our church who could really see. And they could really understand this dreams and vision stuff. And in the most positive way, it provoked me to jealousy. It stirred something in my heart. I said, God, you're no respecter of persons. If you could speak to them, you could speak to me. You love me just as much as you love them. That's what your book makes that clear. And so there's stirred in me this desire. And for about 2 years, I began to pray, God, give me eyes to see and give me ears to hear. And every time one of these guys would show up, I'd like, dude, lay hands on me. Give me what you got. And slowly, God began to reopen my eyes. So I think, yes, anybody.
Just one more. Can you just comment again about the how dreams can be cleansing? Because I know I've experienced this, but I think when we hear that term, it's we sometimes don't have a grid for it.
Yeah, a cleansing dream or a flushing dream. A lot of times, if you have if you ever had a dream about, you know, being on a commode in your dream, those dreams are usually a pretty good sign. Bathroom dreams, okay? If you're on the commode, it's a good sign that there's something inside of you that he wants to get outside of you. If you're in the shower, there's something on the outside of you he wants to just cleanse off. These are cleansing dreams or purging dreams or flushing dreams. And sometimes it can be related to maybe some inappropriate activity we've actually been engaged in, or maybe it's just the opposite. We've been out there doing battle. You know, the team that went to Burning Man, okay? We were in the enemy's camp. We were trying to be light and darkness, okay? And we had, you know, great effectiveness out there, but you know what? Sometimes, a friend of mine told a story once that he used to be a salesman to coal mining companies. He would sell equipment to them. And I don't understand why he did this, but he shows up in a white suit one day. And so the coal mine, the guy managing the coal mine, just could not wait to get him in the mine. And this guy was just like, he was just, you know, so confident that he wasn't going to touch anything. He knew this guy was bringing him in there to mess up his suit. And so he was very, very cautious, walked through that mine, did not touch anything. But it didn't matter. When he came outside, guess what? There was coal dust all over him. Why? Because it was in the atmosphere. He didn't touch anything. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't touch anything he wasn't supposed to touch. It was just in the atmosphere around him. That suit had to get cleaned anyway. Sometimes we don't touch anything inappropriate. We don't do anything wrong. We're just in an atmosphere where it's happening. And sometimes we, you know, we get slime. We get the coal dust, the spiritual coal dust on us. And there are different ways that could come off. We can have a friend pray for us, or You know, we can pray. Sometimes the method God uses is dreams. Either in the dream it gets flushed out of us, or the dream can just be an indication, hey, you got coal dust on you. You need to get your suit clean.
Great.
Does that help?
Yep, great. So who's got a question?
Any questions? Yes.
Yep. First, I have to get my inappropriate comments out of the way. I don't think I've ever been ministered to by Rob Reiner before. Have you ever gotten that?
I remember Rob Reiner. I do, absolutely.
Hope that didn't offend you.
Not at all.
My question is referring to dreams and interpretations. You talked about sitting beside the little lady on the airplane and how she had that dream from when she was a child, but I haven't had this dream in a long time, but it was reoccurring when I was younger, but it was always of flying, and it always stuck with me. Does that symbolize anything? Because it was one of those dreams that always triggers when I talked about my own dreams.
Yeah. I mean, two things are significant. Reoccurring dreams are significant. Anytime God repeats himself in Scripture, you want to pay attention to what he's saying. Same thing with dreams. If he's allowing you to have this dream on a reoccurring fashion, it's like the dream is highlighted or underlined. It's significant. Pay attention to the dream. He really wants you to remember this one. Flying dreams are wonderful. Flying dreams usually mean this, that you have the ability to navigate in the spirit realm. It usually refers to someone who has ability to operate in spiritual gifts to some fashion. So there are different kinds of flying dreams. Am I in control when I'm flying, or am I out of control when I'm flying? Am I smashing into trees, or am I able to zip around them pretty good and, kind of have some good control over it? And am I low to the ground? Am I up high in the air? Am I flying in a vehicle or outside the vehicle? You know, all of these nuances can make a difference. But basically, flying dreams are really good. Yeah. So that there's something of the spirit that's significant inside of you. Does that help?
Yes.
Awesome. Anybody else?